T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bradfo Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open.
I'm okay. Waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
It truly is delicious, and it has been delicious for the first hour and 15 minutes or so. Thanks to Drew, behind the glass. Good job, Drew. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Bradfo Show. Going to be with you up until right about 6 o'clock to take you into some great NCAA tournament action. But right now, speaking of action, there was a lot going on down at JetBlue Park today. And the last reporter standing, the only person who's still there who actually is employed as a reporter, Ian Brown, MLB.com. Ian, what's going on?
I love that trending now.
It's good, right?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Was I wrong about anything? You are not going to watch the Bruins game, I guarantee that.
No, I only watch Bruins playoff games.
Okay, and you will probably find a way to watch the Celtics, even though you're probably going to be on a plane, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Spirit Airlines, I don't know.
Oh, game, so, ouch. Ouch. Spirit does not even have internet, Ian.
We'll survive.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. But you were the couple parts of the equation, the trending now, where that was completely accurate, that you were at the Chris Sale press conference, you were at the Red Sox-Pirates big game, and you also at Alex Cora post-game today. And for your last day at Grapefruit League action, your last day at Fort Myers, are you happy to leave?
Yeah, very happy. You know, there's nothing wrong with being down here for enjoying the warm weather, but it's a little bit like Groundhog Day down here after a while, and you're just ready to watch some real baseball that actually means something, has a little more intensity. But, yeah, it was fun while it lasted, but good to be getting out of here.
Let me ask you this before we get to the sales stuff. Was this, because we always go through spring trainings, and there's always some stupid storylines which, you know, carry us throughout the whole thing. And, you know, I always default to, like, the 2013, Alan Webster throwing 99, and Jackie Bradley, is he going to spend 20 days in the minors? There wasn't, I guess the contracts, maybe, but there wasn't anything like that. There wasn't anything to carry us through March.
No, it was really slow, strange spring training this year. So, kind of, you know, finally waiting for something to happen, and then lo and behold, big news comes out yesterday. Second to last day we're down here that Sale's signing this extension. So that was good. It made the last couple of days go by a little faster.
That was.
I agree with you. Overall, the camp was, not as much going on.
Well, there's no position. I mean, even the only position battle there was, the catcher thing, it was like, what are you going to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, you can see the way that's trending. You know, it's Vasquez and Swihart, I think, and you're going to either trade Sandy Leone or DFA him, and then hopefully keep him in the organization. But those aren't the three most exciting guys to talk about anyway. So if you're going to have a position battle, it's not exactly, you know, Tom Brady versus Drew Bledsoe 2001.
No, and even the bullpen, you know, you have the whole closer situation, and you can say, oh, my goodness, what are they doing? But, you know, if Matt Barnes gives up four runs in his first – or he gives up three runs, I think, in his first outing – you can't, anybody with half a brain in their head, they can't jump to say, oh, there you go, they need a closer because it's spring training. You can't do that. Who was it? You're a Red Sox historian. You're great at this stuff. Keith Foulke, was it his first year? He was so horrific.
Oh, he was terrible. Yeah, he was terrible. And I don't know if you read this book called The Idiots Revisited.
That's why I said you're a historian.
Yeah, but in that book, you know, Terry Francona talks about how he really was a little worried there. He needed Foulke to have one clean inning, and lo and behold, Foulke finally got two outs, two-thirds of an inning in an exhibition game in Atlanta 2 days before opening day. He said, all right, that's good. He got what he needed. But, you just need to see something from these guys. But, yeah, you can't really go by results in spring training at all.
Well, that was the thing along the lines, maybe not to that extent, but Matt Barnes the other day, you know, we had the whole game the other day where he was tipping his pitches, blah, 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 still – you know, he wasn't blowing people away. It was a little uncomfortable. And then he comes out the other night, and he absolutely blew away whoever they were playing. I don't even know who they're playing, but he
I would guess the Twins.
It was either the Twins or the. I actually think it was the Rays, but yeah. he struck out the side, and he not only struck out the side, but he looked really, really good, dominant doing it. So, that I guess that you feel a little bit better about that situation.
Yeah, that looked like a closer to me that night, and so I'm just really curious to see. You know, does he use Barnes as a traditional closer, or do they say, you know, on nights when the other team has their best hitters up in the eighth inning or even the seventh inning, are we going to then use Barnes in the seventh or eighth and match it up? And I think they're probably going to go with the latter scenario, just kind of reading between the lines and the way they've handled this whole thing. But Cora has done a really good job keeping his. Poker face on this one. Still, to this last day, somebody asked about the closer again after the game, and he said March 28th. Stay tuned.
And he said, is it going to be Tyler Thornburg? And he said, March 28th. Do you know that Tyler Thornburg is their highest paid reliever in their bullpen? I mean, $1.75 million is your highest paid reliever.
Yeah, I mean, Cora made a statement after the game. It was kind of like, I know that people outside this organization don't think that we have enough pitchers in the bullpen, but you know we do, and we're going to prove it. You know, a little bit defiant and kind of typical Cora, pretty confident. But he is expressing a lot of confidence in a bullpen that doesn't have a whole lot of track record. I mean, you basically have the same guys here without two key guys in Kimbrel and Kelly, and you haven't replaced them. You're hoping that the Colton Brewers of the world are going to step up, and the Heath Embrys of the world are going to step up, but they didn't replace these two guys.
I've said it a million times, it's a dangerous thing when you deal in projections, and I know the projections are like analytically driven more than ever, but you've heard me say it. There's two examples of this where they projected that those five guys after John Lester left were going to be top of the rotation starters, and they projected that they were going to be able to get by without a guy in the middle of the order when Dave Ortiz left. It's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, and I think like the analytics and all that stuff are great to a degree, but I think when you over-rely on them, I think it can be dangerous, and I wonder if they're a little too carried away over this Ryan Brazier thing last year. Maybe they just found a hidden gem, and they just found it, but that doesn't mean that every single one of these guys, that doesn't mean that Colton Brewer is going to be Ryan Brazier.
But we can't ignore, Ian, that like you, because you went to all these press conferences in the offseason. There were four names they talked about in basically pitching the eighth and ninth inning, and two of them aren't guys who you would consider. Certainly Stephen Wright isn't in the mix. Yeah. And Tyler Thornburg, if they threw him out in the eighth inning on opening day, I'd be shocked. So the original plan it hasn't worked so far. Isn't shaping up like they had expected it would.
No, it absolutely hasn't. So it's going to be a lot on Barnes and Brazier. You know, they keep mentioning Embry. I think they like Embry a lot more than I do. Just to tell you the truth, I mean, Embry he has these streaks where he's pretty good, and then he has these streaks where he's not very good. And I think they're putting a lot of stock in the fact that he's all of a sudden going to be a different guy than he was the last few years. And Workman's another guy who's kind of in and out. You count on him. So it seems like to me they're just counting on a lot of guys who don't have the track records. And that's why I think it's all going to come down to some of these guys in the minor league, some of the younger arms, the Darwinson Hernandezes.
Come on, say his name. Say his name. Say his name. There you go.
That
a boy. Chris, I mean, I would ask you, like, do you like the Chris Sale deal? But how can you not like the Chris Sale deal?
I love it.
I mean, it's because everything about it, the opt-outs, the length of the contract, it's, you know, like, how can you, you know, it's not as much as David Price. So yes or no? You like the Chris Sale deal?
I like the deal a lot.
No, I said yes or no.
Oh yes.
Okay. But why?
To me, there was kind of a stark contrast in the room today, though, because you know how small that interview room is. So we're in this little interview room with this major pitcher signing an extension, and you know half the team it seemed like was in that room. It's a little weird when Mookie Betts is sort of standing off in the corner and still talking so rationally and reasonably about. He wasn't out to get top dog. He just wanted to be treated fairly, and he wanted to, you know, he really wanted to stay here. You wonder what's going through the mind of a guy like Betts who has made it obvious that he does want to get the free agency. So you don't know, is this a thing where he's trying to maximize dollars, or is this a thing where maybe it isn't his dream to play in Boston?
But what Mookie says, and you heard it, you know, like about 50 times the other day, I want to be treated fairly. I mean, so yeah. Chris Sale probably thought he was treated fairly. And maybe, yeah. you know, so that doesn't necessarily mean that Mookie Betts says, I have to get Mike Trout money, although I would imagine he should say that. But we still don't know where he's going to land. Like so when we talk about these guys, they clearly prioritize Chris Sale. First of all, do you agree with that was the move to make?
I do, because like this whole team is built around that starting rotation. And you look at it now, and you have Sale, you have Price, you have Evaldi, you have Rodriguez for the next 3-4 years. And the only, you know, it was funny, Sale gave Dabrowski a playful nod today and said, oh, we want that fifth guy signed too, you know, Porcello. But you know, they really built it around their pitching, and that's a pretty good way to win if you look at it. I think that you know, pitching will take you a long way, as we saw, you know, with the Red Sox last October. It wasn't Mookie Betts or Xander Bogaerts who led this team to the World Series last October. It was this pitching staff. So I think that's
By the way, they have 4 years now, basically 3 or 4 years to finally find someone in their farm system who can become one of these types of pitchers, right? I mean, this is what this does. Is that you have Evaldi 4 years, you have Price for four years, right? And you have Sale now for 4 years. So
I think you have Rodriguez for the next three.
Three, right. So you have your buffer now to find the next guy, whether it's Jay Groom, whether it's Tanner Houck, whoever it is, Brian Mata.
Darwin's and Hernandez,
exactly. So, but going back to, so you said that they should have prioritized Sale. Who is the guy that you feel like they should prioritize next?
Probably. I mean, the obvious answer is Mookie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Take Mookie out of the equation. Yeah.
I would say JD Martinez.
There you go. Thank you.
I mean, this guy is a high impact player. Very much could have made the case that he was the MVP last year, and not Betts, given you know, what he did to the dynamic of this lineup, and you didn't know he was going to be their third hitting coach too. And help a lot of these other guys out. So this guy has enormous value. And you lose a guy like that in the middle of the order, tough to replace. You saw what happened in 2017, that bridge year after David Ortiz retired, where you didn't have that guy, and it wasn't pretty watching that Red Sox offense.
I don't think they should be daring JD Martinez to exercise that opt-out. Like, so there, my guess is there's that, by the fact that they haven't talked to him, my guess is they're saying, okay, you're going to be making just over $23 million next year. We saw what Goldschmidt made. He's a lot younger than you are. Same sort of position. We're not going to factor in all the other stuff that you talked about. We don't think that you're going to take the chance of going into the open market and signing a deal at the age of what will he be. He'll be 33, 32, something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But if just throw him, just rework the contract a little bit so you take that out of his mentality. Get up to, you know what you do? You say 25 a year for the life of your contract. Boom. He's shown that he's that valuable, because if you take JD Martinez out, good luck.
No, I agree. That's a dangerous game that they're going to play with him and just assume he's not going to opt out. Because don't forget who his agent is. Scott Boras, he's, a lot of people were surprised when JD drew opted out that year when he was with the Dodgers. But, you know, Boras had to. Yeah, Boras knew he was going to the Red Sox. He knew he had the deal with the Red Sox. And, you know, I'm sure Scott Boras is going to be working behind the scenes like he always does. And, you know, it could be lining up JD's next destination if the Red Sox are going to play that game.
So is there anything else? Anything else like at all that we're waiting to figure out, like what they're going to do with Sandy Leon? We know what they're going to do with the bullpen. We know what the batting order is going to be. We know now, you know, like, well, we don't really know what the rotation is, do we?
We don't know what the rotation is. It sounds like David Price is going to pitch the second game, but they want to see him pitch Tuesday in Arizona first against the Cubs, and I would think that would be kind of maybe a 3 or 4 inning tune-up, and then he'd come back 3 days later again. It sounds like Cora really wants to put him in that spot, and then it's just a matter of whether you have, I think it would probably be Evaldi in the third spot based on the way the rotation is lined up right now, then then Porcello for the fourth game, and Rodriguez gets the first game in Oakland.
What's your favorite non-baseball memory from spring training?
Favorite non-baseball memory? That's hard to say.
I know. It was that movie you saw by yourself. There's 50,000 meals that we ate together.
Yeah, a lot of seafood.
Yes, there's. I mean, there's. That's about it.
I'll tell you the biggest disappointment of spring training though was this is the first spring training in I don't even know how long. Not one pickup basketball.
I know. I was thinking of that too. Yeah. I brought my sneakers and I didn't even play. I think that speaks a lot about this spring training. It was a forgettable spring training. It really was. And, you know, and Ian, before you get going, I do want to make note of this because, you know, this is – when we do look at back at this spring training, I mean, this the thing that realistically will – you and I will look back at the spring training was Nick Cafardo, the tragedy with Nick Cafardo. And I know that you came on the podcast. We talked about Nick, and a lot of people talked about Nick for those days. But as the spring training is coming to an end, like we shouldn't forget, you know, what happened there in the passing of Nick.
No, it did make this a difficult spring training, and I think it made it a little weird for everybody down here. You know, even as of today, when I was in the press box after the game, that picture of Nick was still sitting at his feet at the Red Sox. You know, they had put. Roses out there the day that he died. Abby from Media Relations put a dozen roses at Nick's feet. And then those roses stayed until they wilted, and then she replaced it with a framed picture of Nick that just nobody stared at that deep in the rest of the spring. So just to kind of see that again today kind of reminded you of you know what the spring training was. And it's going to be a weird season without Nick, but you know, he's got to carry on because that's what he'd wanted to do. Nobody loved covering this team more than he did.
All right, Ian. Say hi to is your son Tyler there, right by your side?
Yeah, we're gonna go. Maybe hit the clam bake tonight.
There you go. The next great journalist, Tyler Brown. keep that name. Much like your fantasy draft, when you draft those guys at the end of the draft, you said keep an eye on this guy. For all you doing your fantasy baseball journalist drafts for years to come, you want to stash someone in the farm system. Tyler Brown's your guy, up-and-coming star at Springfield College. So
there you go.
Give him my best. Good job down in spring training, and I'll see you in Seattle.
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks.
All right, that's Ian Brown at MLB.com. I'm Rob Bradford. We got a couple more segments to go. Call on in. We're going to shift over because I feel like we should talk about this a little bit. Although Drew, like, so this, with Robert Kraft's statement, you know, I'll be happy to talk about it. What do you say?
You say, okay, this seems like it's a very sort of directive from the attorney, so he doesn't have to speak at the owner's meeting.
That's very exciting. You're really selling it, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a, okay, sorry.
I still say this. It's, number one, you're right. I'm not mocking you. You're absolutely right. You're making my point. This is coming from the attorneys. He's throwing himself on the sword a little bit. And he's still going to fight it in the courtroom, so forth and so on. But I'll stand by this. The biggest thing here is the Goodell thing. What is Goodell going to do? So we'll talk about this. I'll read the Robert Kraft statement, which was released today right around 1:30 p.m. I'll read that right after this break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bradford Show. All right, we're back. We're with you for a few more minutes, all the way up until about 6 o'clock, with a NCAA tournament game to be named later. But I'm sure it'll be exciting and compelling, and you'll listen, because whatever game it is, it's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, my friends. It doesn't make a difference. It's always going to impact your life. It will impact your life one way or the other. Murray State, Florida State. What's the seeding in that? What do we got?
That's a 12-4.
My guess is that Murray State's the 12.
Correct.
I'm going to predict Murray State is going to win that game. And you know what? Because I made that prediction, I am going to listen to the entire game on this very radio station to find out if my prediction comes to fruition. Well, speaking of things coming to fruition, my tease before the break is going to come to fruition right now. And I am going to read the statement from Robert Kraft that was released about 1:30 today. Obviously, we were in the Red Sox baseball game with Josh Lewin and Joe Castiglione on the call. Last Grapefruit League game of the season. So, as we pointed out earlier, that's not how you do spring training or not. We are not reading the Robert Kraft statement on a Red Sox radio broadcast. We'll talk about contracts. We'll talk about everything to the ends of the earth that you will be involving baseball. But much unlike what was reported by some people, but what was said by some people, like the gentleman that I have on, David Halberstam, and not the David Halberstam, the deceased David Halberstam, but the David Halberstam who runs a media website, he wrote the piece saying, WEI wants to have talk shows during their Red Sox radio broadcast. And that was never, ever going to be the case. Ever, 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 ever. And what he said, I remember he said it during that interview, so they're going to talk about Robert Kraft. No, we're not going to talk about Robert Kraft. And today was a perfect example of that. You had a spring training game. We're not reading the statement. We're not reading the statement. But you know when we are reading the statement? We read it earlier in the show, and we're going to read it again right now. So this is what the Robert Kraft statement said. In deference to the judicial process, I have remained silent these past several weeks. To correct some of the misinformation surrounding this matter, my attorney made his first public comments on Friday night. I would like to use this opportunity to say something that I've wanted to say for 4 weeks. I am truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed my family, my close friends, my coworkers, our fans, and many others who rightfully hold me to a higher standard. Throughout my life, I have always tried to do the right thing. The last thing I would ever want to do is disrespect another human being. I have extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful woman, the love of my life, who I was blessed to have as my partner for 50 years. As I move forward, I hope to continue to use a platform which I have been blessed to help others and to try to make a difference. I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect. Well, like I said before, really, you know, what do you say to this statement? It's him saying, you know, without coming through with any particulars, that he is ready to fight what was levied by the sheriff's department, by the court system. He is ready to fight that in court. That's fine, but that's not what this statement's about. This is about him saying, I was wrong, I am embarrassed, I'm sorry to my family, sorry to my friends, and I'm going to be better. Again, to read the last part of this, I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect. I mean, there's really, you know, I don't think that Robert Kraft is going to get popped in a Jupiter massage parlor again by the authorities. That's my guess. I mean, this Robert Kraft has done a lot of good things for a lot of people. We know that. But all it takes is one thing to sort of form a narrative here and use people to use ammunition against him. And he said all the right things in this statement, but that's not going to change. He can do the right thing all his rest of his life, but this is going to be attached to him in some corners, especially in the corners of the people who really want to go after the Patriots and you want to use another thing as ammunition. That's just how it works. So he did the right thing here. I mean, he said what he needed to say. But as I said before the break, that's, to me, the biggest thing is what Goodell is going to do. What is Roger Goodell going to do? And I don't know if he's going to wait for the legal proceedings to happen. If he does, I don't know why. Because if we know this isn't going to be an enormous punishment legally for Robert Kraft. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be an enormous punishment from the league. And so that's what fascinates me. If it's not, if it's what we think it is, and it's not going to be an enormous punishment legally, well, the league if they come down them like Ursae, or something along those lines, or even worse, then it is going to be a big bleep show. It just is. Especially if it gets to the level that some people think it's going to get to, involving Robert Kraft's ownership of the Patriots. If Roger Goodell comes in and says, you know what, you can't go to the game for the first half of the season. Let's say the first half of the season. It's going to be a big stink. And Robert Kraft is, I wouldn't be surprised if he fights that as well. And then here we go again. Here we go with Roger Goodell. And the problem is because Roger Goodell has no consistency. He has the impetus for his punishments have always been driven by the wrong type of things. This is where it's going to get interesting. But with the owners' meetings coming up next week in a few days, it's not a surprise that Robert Kraft comes up with a statement. But still, it's like, what I'm going to be interested in from the owners' meetings, what do the other owners say about it? Because you remember Deflategate. I mean, Deflategate, the owners' meetings is an interesting chapter in Deflategate. You remember this, Drew? So you had, basically, you had the Wells report and context put up on the Patriots website right before the owners' meetings, or before the owners' meetings. And that was obviously sanctioned by the Patriots, by the Krafts. And then you get to the owners' meetings, and Robert Kraft got in front of everyone and said, we're going to let the league take care of this. It was a complete reversal, I think, in large part because he knew he had to go in the room with the owners, and it was like, hey, listen, you know, I'm just one of you guys. It was a bad misstep by Robert Kraft. And then he had to loop back and say, hey, no, I'm with the fans. I'm not going to revisit all that Deflategate stuff, but that, if we're talking about the owners' meetings, remember, the owners' meetings is an interesting time because all those owners have to get, it's a club, it's a fraternity, and people don't want to cause waves. And Robert Kraft has been a guy who have brought sides together. That's how he typically have been. So how are the owners going to react to that? What are they going to say? That is what's going to be interesting from the owners' meeting. All right, we got to go to a break here. We have one more segment coming up. Then, like I said, the big Murray State, Florida State game at the top of the hour. Be back right after this.
Bradfo Show.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh.
All right, Bradford Show back. A few more minutes. What do you got going on this week coming up? Because I got to be honest with you, Drew. Like, this past week, I was saying to some people on the website, for, like, definitive storylines, like, things that you know that you're going to talk about, it might have been the weakest week of the entire year. What, do you disagree with that?
No, absolutely. I mean, we luckily sale broke. Luckily, there's some lingering stuff about Kraft and free agency from the NFL and the Celtics, but...
But, like, for instance, like, when Mookie Betts said his thing, Trout agrees to his deal, it didn't really cause many ripples. The sale thing, you know, I think it has a little bit of legs because of what it means to the whole scene. But still, that the Red Sox, I don't think until the Red Sox actually start playing that they're going to be the storyline. The Celtics, it was, you know, you had the game in Philadelphia, but it was the Celtics. I always feel like they have to win in order to win, or Kyrie has to be involved in some crazy thing.
There was no schedule, like, 6 months ago when you're planning out your columns, there's nothing that you could have said on March 20th, this is what we're talking about, because...
No,
you know.
And we, believe me, Ryan Hannibal did a great job of squeezing that Patriots thing dry. I mean, holy mackerel. And you know, the draft is whatever, in a few weeks, a month, or whatever it is, and people get excited about that. But the NFL free agency, that was a big thing the week before, and the week before that, but really, no. So what I guess this week... You're gonna have the owners' meetings. That's gonna be a big thing for the NFL, and you're gonna have the Red Sox opener. So yeah, this week will be better than last week. Last week, I still say that in the entire, let's say, 365 days, that was the week with the least amount to talk about.
Worse than All-Star Weekend, MLB?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like there's always still stuff to talk about. I know that it's like, you always have the yes piece, right? Yes piece. I want to give, before we take off, I do want to give another huge shout out to everybody who was out there running, not only training for the Boston Marathon. I got a chance to speak to some really nice people today along the way, but also I can't tell you, until you experience it, you really can't understand like what a unique situation this is. I mean, people out there cheering today for a training run for these people who are running 20, 21 miles. They're cheering for this training run. You have policemen, police women out there directing traffic for a training run. You have like people setting up the stands in their yards to give out the gummy bears, to give out the drinks for a training run. This is why the Boston Marathon I couldn't, believe me, I can't run any marathon. I have a few times, but I can't imagine running any other marathon than this. And of course, all those people out there running today, a big part of it was raising money for unbelievable causes. The amount of money that people raised for this thing by running this race is incredible. So if you know someone doing it, please donate to their cause. If you want to do it for me, I'm welcome to it, but do it for somebody. Do it for somebody. Drew, what do you got going on this week? Anything?
Getting ready for the Red Sox.
Ooh, here we go. All right. It's like lower the heart rate. Lower the heart rate, Ricky Bobby. All right. Drew, great job today. Excellent job. We got through another excellent 2 hours of the Bradford Show. Thanks to Ian Brown and MLB.com for joining us. Thank you for all of you for listening. And get ready, like I said, big week coming up, starting with Sunday Skate at 8 to 9 tomorrow, followed by some weird concoction of Chris Villani, Alex Reamer, and Evan Drellick, all the way up until another round of NCAA games. We'll talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.